Yes.
Everybody please stand. Pledge to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A moment of silence for our service personnel. Thank you. Roll call, please.
This is for the August 9th, 2017, special board meeting at 4 p.m. Roll call, Director Bowie.
Here.
Director Israel.
Here.
Director Wargo.
Here.
Director Davis.
Here.
And Director Link.
Here.
Turn your mics on, please. Maybe you don't have them on.
Is that better? Okay. Old business. Discuss resolution 02-2017 fixing water standby assessment for fiscal year 2017 and 18. Before I get to that point, you're in the audience here. If you want to make a comment or anything, I need to know this. There's a little card right up there if you could fill it out real quick. All right. Okay. Discussion action of the fixing of the water standby assessment fiscal year 2017. Do you have anything to say, Calvin?
The resolution is the fixed water standby assessment for fiscal year 2017 through 2018. There are no increases. This has been in existence for the last 20 years or more. It's $10 per parcel or per acre if you have water services, and $30 per acre if it's undeveloped land. The purpose is to contribute to the maintenance, repair, and improvement of the current water infrastructure distribution system. For undeveloped land, it contributes to the maintenance and repair and improvement of the current water infrastructure, so that in the event the property owner develops their land, it will have water services available to her property. If you review your property taxes or your tax bill, whether or not you have school-aged children, you have a school district tax. Whether your property has water service or not, you pay an assessment through your annual property tax through the County of Riverside, to the Cabazon Water District, and to the San Gregorio Water Agency. 1% of your assessed value of your property is taxed by the Riverside County. And within that breakdown, it may include street and highway maintenance, public transportation, law enforcement, fire protection, and other county services it offers. So I encourage you to continue this assessment, and I want to warn the board, if you allow this to fall through, then you, according to Prop 218, it requires community members to vote it back in to tax themselves. Thank you.
Do you have any comments? I know you haven't filled out a form. You're the only public here. What? Are you here just to watch the dog and pony show, or?
No. I was interested in everything he was talking about. That's why I came to the meeting, to see the tax increase and all.
This is not a tax increase. This is just a reaffirmation of an existing fee that all property owners pay.
Right.
So it's not going up, it's going down. It's just, it's basically saying, hey, we're still going to keep it going.
Okay.
It's the same thing as when you look on your property tax bill, you see that part for the cemeteries. Even though I doubt I'm going to be in that cemetery, I'm still paying for it. I mean, I just thought you either just burn me and spread my ashes or whatever, but it's one of those things that,
right.
Yeah, we're going to pay for the light rail system, but are we ever going to use it?
Yeah.
So that's what the standby is about. All
May I make one more point?
No. Yes. Go right ahead.
If you allow this tax, if you vote this tax down, think about what we just went through with the rate increase.
Oh, I understand.
Okay, you're going to put more burden on the ratepayers.
I understand that, and my all I'm doing is just being open and transparent and giving the great population that's here to the meeting the understanding of what's going on. Well, don't forget, we got a vote this year because a couple of us are getting replaced. So I'm going to be real polite and nice with a vote coming in. Okay, any questions from the board members?
No, there's no increase on this, right?
No, it's just a reaffirmation of an existing.
And where it's got a slope, you know, that's changing, right? Where it's $5 and it's like 20 bucks back.
Right.
And then do we need to address this?
We can address it.
I don't think there would be any reason to, because it's not going up.
Right. The Lindy family, they've been here since birth. They're a missionary family, fixed income, and they're voicing their political opinion and stuff. And we're going to address it. They're just saying they don't agree with it. We'll take it in advisement. Any other?
They probably don't understand.
No. Don't sell the Libby short.
Oh, no, no, please
they're
don't.
They're very sharp.
I know.
But anyway.
I make the motion we go ahead and
approve it.
Okay. I second it.
So we have a motion to approve Resolution 02-2017, fixing water standby assessments for fiscal year 2017-2018, made by Director Israel, second by Director Davis. So Director Bowie?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo? Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Aye. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the MDS contract to review district capacity miscellaneous fees. This action is about what trying to make sure that we're legal on all of our fees that we charge for new construction. As an example, the company wants to put a store by the Circle K up here. Another guy wants to put 30 houses on down the street here. Another person wants to put the hotel up by the outlet somewhere up there. And we have to make sure our fees that we charge for the water meter and the pipes and everything are within legal standards. So every 5 years we have to have that review. And it's been 10, you said 10 or?
2004, so it's been 13.
So it's been, we're out of, And we don't want to run the risk of somebody coming back later and say, hey, your fees were exorbitant and we're going to sue you. So we have to have an outside party evaluate based on the standards across the state.
Or undercharge.
Excuse me?
Or undercharge.
Or undercharge.
But right. Again, the burden is placed on the ratepayers.
Yeah. So that's what that is about. And then there was, you had concerns about on this contract, didn't you, Sarah, about. Well, I understand now. I understand why. But I'm going to leave that to you. She's got questions about.
Okay.
Because there was two different aspects of it, and the question was, did we need to do part of it now versus later? If I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, there's two different parts. We're looking at the standard, we're looking at the capacity fees, and we're looking at the miscellaneous fees, right?
Mm-hmm. So, what's your question? Should we do them both at the same time?
What all are we getting for the?
So, you're getting this report. So, as you go go through the report, the first one attached is Roland Water District. I do some occasional work for Roland. I live pretty close to that water district. What the report's going to do is it's going to take a judge through the logic behind setting these fees, just as your Prop 218 report does. So it's designed to be very transparent as to here's what we looked at, and the methodology that they use where they look at They look at, for example, they look at your existing connections, then they evaluate your future growth. Then they look at what are your future planned assets that will accommodate that growth. And the idea behind it is to segregate out two costs when somebody comes into the district. One is you're buying into the existing infrastructure because everybody else, all the other ratepayers have paid for it. And so, but you have a little bit of excess capacity, so they're buying into that capacity. So they have to evaluate the cost of all those assets, kind of in current dollars and replacement costs, to determine how much should that new entity pay into just for the existing assets. Then they also look at, if you're connecting to the system, how much will it tax the system in the future? And that's kind of like, how much are they taxing the capacity of the system? And then additionally, they may look at, do we need future growth, depending on what type of entity you are and how big you are. So there's a development in one of my clients that was big enough that we actually had a separate agreement outside this because we had to have them build a reservoir because there was too many homes. But it got a little tricky because we said, well, if you're going to build that reservoir, why don't you build it double? And we'll pay for half because we know there will be future growth around you. But what will happen when that future growth comes in around this development is they'll have to buy in to the half that we contributed. So it's kind of, that's kind of like the buy-in cost. So it's, it takes a lot of planning and looking at that. So they look at that and they kind of calculate the capacity fees and what that would charge. And that's kind of separate from, say, the miscellaneous fees, where they're going to go in and miscellaneous fees are going to look at all the things like when you go shut off water, when you go turn on a service, things that are kind of labor intensive that I don't think those have been evaluated in a while. And I will tell you that all of my districts are a little bit guilty of this, that they probably look at those fees once every 3 to 5 years. Well, in the meantime, in those 3 to 5 years, all their labor costs have gone up, all their benefits costs have gone up, and whether that initial calculation was totally solid based on, here's the hourly rate, it takes, you know, our operator an hour to go out to do this, here's this fully burdened rate, and then we also look at the truck and do an evaluation of how long is he in the truck and depreciation and things like that to kind of come up with a, this is just recovering our costs. That's it. We just don't want to lose money when we go and turn off your water. That's kind of the idea. And so typically my district's 3 to 5 years, they'll look at that and either do an in-house evaluation or do an external evaluation. Oftentimes when we're doing capacity fees, we do them both at the same time because that company is coming in and they're immersed in the district. And then you're doing this all in one shot when you do it at the board meeting. And then it also puts you on a regular schedule, regularly evaluating, deciding, are we gonna do this every 5 years? Or, you know, are we gonna do it as needed? Maybe we never look at growth again and wait till maybe nothing happens, or you get your hotel and no growth happens and you say, we aren't gonna look at it until we have growth come again. And hopefully it doesn't come so fast that you don't have time to respond. But the miscellaneous fees, those fees should be looked at every 3 to 5 years because your costs do change. And I have had clients where they've looked at those costs and said, oh my gosh, every time we're turning off water, we're losing money, especially on the weekends. They were not charging enough in the call-out pay for somebody to come fix a leak, or there's something, there's a problem to call out to this, to the customer. They were losing money every single time. So it's just a couple clients, but that does happen too. So you never know how it's gonna shake out. I glance at your fees, some of them look low, some of them look reasonable. I don't know.
And it's on the miscellaneous fees or
capacity? On the miscellaneous. The capacity is all over the place. It just really depends on the agency. I have some agencies where when you're buying into capacity, they have so many, wells, they have state water project pipeline to Mojave. They've got things going on that you're buying into a system a lot bigger than, say, coming down here where you might have a few wells and a couple reservoirs and so on. So it really depends on the size of the agency and the structure of the infrastructure.
So would they look at as an example, we acquired the Desmond Hills water system, but the basis of that was so that they have a tie-in for the fire flow and all of that. So they're going to have to look at all of that capacity, all the stores,
mm-hmm.
and then say, okay, you've got 3 1-million-gallon tanks, but you're not at the point where you can build much more. Is that what they will do?
Yeah, they'll evaluate that as well. And probably, I'm guessing, maybe segregate that out a little bit to see that impact.
Okay. As far as the miscellaneous fees go, what do we charge? Like, if we have to go out, what do we charge for?
For incident fee, it's like $250.
What would that be?
That would be if someone calls, or well, like today, this weekend, I had to come out here twice. Sunday on calls, okay, and if they were something that it was the owner's responsibility, then they would be assessed the $250 incident.
So that goes on that bill.
And that's because what happens is the reason why we established that was that, you know, other than myself, the other responders, you know, they're in the bargaining unit, and they require a minimum of 3 hours. They would be able to come out and flip a switch. It's well, minimum 3 hours overtime, time and a half rate, plus mileage.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So, can we figure out how many fees we actually have and see if we need to do a $6,000 study on it? Or if we can say, oh, we have 7 fees, and look at it and say, oh, well, this cost of the guy is free, you know. Is this something that we can do? How many fees are we putting up there?
The fees are in your board packet, as they were last meeting.
Yeah.
But it's right after the NVS quote. But it gives you a good idea of what the fees are that are charged and what they are for.
Okay, what
fees? It's right after the NVS quote. The contract amendment. The contract amendment is 4 pages, and then you'll see the district logo, and it'll say Cabazon Water District proposed 2010-2011 fiscal year budget fees and charges.
It's after the rolling or before the rolling?
It's before the roll.
Okay, let's see, I got the standby.
It should look familiar because it was in your last meeting's board packet also.
It says right here.
It says page 2 on the bottom.
Yeah.
Now, the bargaining unit say on Sunday it's time and a half or double time?
It's time and a half, and then anything over, I believe, 12 hours is double time.
Okay.
Okay, and the reason why managers recommending a study done, if there's ever a challenge, just think of the labor fees, just to even respond to it, and staff time to respond to the legal challenge. And NES has gone through what I call the Kelly Salt Gauntlet. She's an expert at Prop 218. She's part of our legal firm. She's based out of Sacramento. And NES, this is their bread and butter. And I know it's an extravagant amount, but just think, it would cost us more than $11,000 to answer a legal challenge. And if we lose the legal challenge based on what we have to pay back and the punitive damages that they might be awarded, it could be into, you know, $20,000 or even $100,000 or more. And that's why we're recommending to spend $11,000 to cover, to basically do circumspection, you know, caution, preventative maintenance.
Basically, we're looking at about 10 different fees that we want to
over connection.
There's a delinquent, there's a reconnection, there's a return check, there's also tax and photocopy credit.
Also plan check, inspection, process.
Yeah, it's a lot of process.
Yeah, the legal is $11, you both say, Cassie and the miscellaneous charges.
The equipment charges, plan check, inspection, processing, delinquent accounts, reconnection, door hanging, private fire service. That's to determine if we're legally charging the proper amount for the fire flow service. I have a question on that in particular. Would they include in that, do you know, about residential fire systems because of the new laws requiring all the new homes to have a fire suppression system and how we deal with the metering and all that?
I believe we addressed that in the 218 in the part of the rate study. So you mean homes that have a 1-inch meter as opposed to 5/8?
As an example, I have a 5/8 meter and my house is 3 years old because of the burn. And I have only a 5/8 meter, but I have a fire suppression system in it. Now because it falls under HUD jurisdiction, it's a different standard than the building code. And the district is requiring a split meter, correct, or split connection. The thing is the fire flow that's mandated by the County of Riverside is this, which is greater than a 5/8 meter.
Okay.
So now that in that respect, that charge that we supposed to see, this is that I think falls into that legal aspect. If I've got a wide connection after the meter to measure fire flow or to provide enough fire flow, and I have to put in a 1-inch meter, how do I justify the charge that I charge that person? Do I charge them a 5/8, a 3/4, or a 1-inch? And they're never going to use the 1-inch. They're only going to use the 5/8. Well, we hope they never use the 1-inch capacity for a fire. So do you,
I understand what you're saying.
So will that be part of that capacity charge, or do you understand where I'm coming from? That's a
I do think I kind of do. I don't know that that's addressed in here. That's something that has been addressed at my other districts, but more during the rate study process, where they looked at, we had a capital charge on all of our meters, and there were several residents that needed the 1-inch just for fire flow, but had used a 5/8 capacity. And what we elected during the rate study process was to allow them to apply for a variance, where they could come in and say, I've got the 1-inch only for fire flow, and then we would look at their usage to see if they were in fact using a 5/8 meter, and then we could give them a variance on a case-by-case basis. I don't know globally if it would be addressed in this.
Any other questions?
No, I didn't make that motion, no.
Okay.
That we look at these separately.
We approve each of these separately from miscellaneous and past contingency. Okay. Do I have a second?
A second.
Okay. Question about that. If we elect to do it separately, and down the road we elect to do the other part of it, do you happen to know if the fee would be the same, the $6,000, or would it be an elevated fee because of a re-entry into the process?
I don't know. I mean, I can't speak for them, but I feel like we could get them to give it to us for the same. I would hope. I mean, we're establishing a relationship with them that we understand that they're the experts, and I mean, I would hope they would recognize that relationship and do that. I would give it to you for the same. If I was to.
Yeah, I understand.
No, I don't know. I assume they would. Yes.
Okay.
There's just a little bit of, there is some synergy in doing both at the same time. Don't get me wrong. And if they find that it's taking them longer than they thought, but if that's the case, when we were to get to it, I think there would be things on our end we could do to make maybe their burden a little easier so that they don't go over that amount.
So So I have a motion on the floor, I want a second.
All right.
The motion was to do the second, in other words, you want to do the first one now and then table the second portion.
No, no, I want to vote on both of them now, but I want to vote on that separately.
Okay, so yeah. Then we need to, we'll do the motion, make a motion for, to do the capacity, and then we will come back and address the miscellaneous.
Can I make a motion?
Did the board want to say, I want to do this with the capacity, and then I take roll call, and then the second person says, I want to do this with the fees, and then
yes.
I take roll call?
Yes.
Okay, so what was Sarah, what do you want to do with the capacity?
I make a motion to approve the capacity.
Okay.
I understand what you're trying to do, and I think that's gives people a chance to voice. Mrs. Bowie, you had seconded the first one. Do you want to carry your second again?
Okay. So I have a motion made by Director Wargo to approve the capacity fee study at this time, second by Director Bowie. So roll call. Director Bowie?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Link?
Aye. Okay, I'm now on the next item on the maintenance, or the miscellaneous charges study. Do I have a motion to approve or deny?
I make the motion to approve.
I have a motion to approve.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
So I have a motion made by Director Israel to approve the miscellaneous fee study, which is separate from the capacity fee study. Made by Director Israel, second by Director Link. Director Bowie?
No.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
No.
Director Davis?
No.
And Director Link?
Yes. Did you want to make a comment on anything else, or?
Not a bad word.
Okay. Future agenda items? Anybody have a future agenda item? Nope. Okay. Management comment? Nope. Board member comments? Nope.
I do have a comment. I just want to say that I don't think that the miscellaneous fees aren't needed, but I just think right now, after we've raised everybody's rates, I want to take a hit right now. I'd like to address that at a later time.
Okay. All right. Miscellaneous future board member, board items, next board meeting, finance and audit. Workshop Tuesday, August 15th at 5 p.m. The regular board meeting, this is a special meeting, the regular board meeting is on the 15th at 6 p.m. Personnel Committee, none. San Gregorio Passwater Alliance meeting Wednesday, August 30th, 5 to 7 p.m. I make a motion to adjourn at 1.
Yeah, that clock is way up.
Wow.
4:27 says my laptop.
4:31.
Battery's going dead.
4:21?
4:31.
Oh, it's 5 minutes slow. Yeah, you're right. Yours is right. Okay. Where's that?
So, was there a second?
What's that?
Was there a second?
A second.
Okay. Director Bowie?
Aye.
Director Israel?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Director Link?
Aye.
We're going to have to wait the next fiscal year to see what our budget is going to be.
I'll bring
one
from home.
Did I do that right?